a major state inquiry into institutional abuse in Australia has recommended that Catholic priests should be forced to report any cases of sexual abuse that they hear about during confession. But Catholic bishops in Australia have already said no. The Australian Catholic Bishops Conference say breaking the seal of confession is contrary to our faith and inimical to religious liberty. The five-year state inquiry found that tens of thousands of children suffered abuse in Australian institutions and that the Catholic Church had the most cases. The Australian Cardinal, you may know, George Pell, the Vatican's formerly third highest ranking official, is currently facing trial for alleged child sexual abuse offences. He has denied those charges and has entered not guilty pleas. But under Catholic Church law, the confessional is sacrosanct. Priests are directed to maintain the privacy and secrecy of the confessional, even if they face imprisonment or other penalties by the state. And priests are also told that if they breach the secrecy of the confessional, they could be automatically excommunicated from the church. Some countries, of course, have already introduced mandatory reporting laws, making it illegal for anyone not to report child abuse. A mandatory reporting law, for example, was passed into the legislation in the Republic in 2012. But the Catholic Church in Ireland has similarly advised priests not to inform state authorities about incidents of child abuse they hear about in the confession box. We're joined by Richard Scorer, who's the head of abuse law at the Slater and Gordon Company. Welcome, Richard. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
And Alban McGuinness is in the Talkback studio with me, former SDLP MLA. Alban, welcome to you. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, William.
Richard, help us understand how the law, first of all, in the United Kingdom works when it comes to mandatory reporting of child abuse.
Well, at the moment in the United Kingdom, we have no provision for mandatory reporting of child abuse. And we've seen in the National Abuse Inquiry, which has been going on in England and Wales, many examples of situations where within institutions, abuse has been known about or strongly suspected and has not been reported onto the authorities and has not been investigated, and perpetrators have been allowed to continue abusing. So the legal position currently in certainly in England and Wales is that we don't have any mandatory reporting provision. I think there is something within the law in Northern Ireland, but it's not really been used actively in these circumstances.
And how does that apply? We'll come to priests in a minute, but how does it apply, for example, to social workers, doctors, lawyers, teachers, those who also have a professional code of conduct?
Well, it relies entirely on those professional codes of conduct. So there are protocols, there are guidance within particular professions, whether it's teaching or social work or other similar professions, which stipulate that professionals should report and ensure that allegations or concerns about abuse are investigated. But there is no legal requirement. In other words, there's no mandatory requirement backed up by criminal sanctions. And in that sense, the UK is different from many other legal jurisdictions. You mentioned, for example, about Southern Ireland, where there is a mandatory reporting requirement. And indeed, I think in Australia, some states already have it, and there is a move to introduce it more widely there.
Do you support mandatory reporting laws, Richard?
I certainly do. And I think the evidence from the inquiry that's going on in the moment, and indeed from many cases that I've seen over many years, is that we should have mandatory reporting, and indeed that it should also include, if necessary, overriding the sanctity of the confessional in Catholic cases.
What do you make of that proposal, Alban McGuinness, that we should have mandatory reporting laws and that it should include priests in the confessional? They shouldn't get an exemption.
Well, I agree entirely with Richard that there should be mandatory reporting laws, and I think that is something that should be looked at nationally and should be applied rigorously. But in relation to the confessional, there is a number of practical difficulties, as well as the objection that there would be by the church, which I agree with, which is that the confessional is a sacred place where someone is confessing their sins to God through the priest. The priest may or may not give absolution in certain circumstances, but it is a sacrament, and therefore it being a sacrament should be respected as such. However, let me just look at the practicalities as well, because in a situation where somebody goes into a confessional, they do not do so by identifying themselves. It is usually a matter of the person approaches the confessional anonymously. The person may or may not be known to the priest.
But they may be.
But they may be in certain circumstances.
I mean, let me ground this question. If a priest hears a confession and the person giving the confession makes it clear with enough detail that, for example, that person is the father of a child and that he has sexually abused that child and the child is still living with him in the family home.
Yes.
Are we saying there, are you saying there that the priest should respect the privacy of that conversation more so than acting to defend and protect the child?
What the priest has to do in those circumstances is to weigh up what the situation is. First of all, the priest does not have to give absolution in circumstances where he believes that there is...
Well, that's a separate issue. The issue is about the protection of the child.
Yes, no, I understand the point that you're making. But you're respecting the sacrament, you're respecting the confidentiality of the sacrament, and that is something that all priests are obliged to do and which the Church insists upon. The other point I would make is this, in circumstances where somebody is committing...
What about the child that's being abused in its home?
Let me say, in circumstances, the priest can say to the penitent, you have to report yourself to the authorities, and will encourage that person to report.
And hope that they do.
They cannot
But that's the question I'm asking. Yes. Why can't they?
Because of the sacredness.
Well, change the law.
Well, the point has to be made is that this is a sacrament. This is a sacred situation where, in fact, a person is approaching a priest for absolution. They're confessing their sins to God.
And that's more important than protecting the child.
There is no right in those circumstances for the priest to break confidentiality. And that is something that has been standard for the Church for 2,000 years.
I see, Richard, recently the Church of England, which has a high church or a high Anglican wing of the Church who have confession and sacramental confession, the Church of England has given the advice that if any priest in that context does hear evidence of child abuse, they must report it to the police.
Yes, and I mean, that's quite an important point in the context of what Alban's saying. It's worth remembering that the Anglican Church, whereas you say there is some use of sacramental confession, not across the whole Anglican Church, but in parts of it, they don't actually have a total sort of stipulation of confidentiality around the confessional in the sense that there are exceptions to it. Already they recognise exceptions in terms of allegations of terrorism or money laundering. And I think that the Anglican Church, certainly in England and Wales, is moving towards the position where they are likely to say that that should include child abuse as well. So where there is knowledge of child abuse, that should be reported. Can I just say, I mean, as a lawyer who's for many years represented victims of clerical abuse, I've certainly seen cases over the years where allegations of abuse have been made in the confessional, both by victims of abuse and by those who know about abuse or are concerned about it. Those allegations have not been reported on because of the sanctity of the confessional. They haven't been investigated. And the consequence is that perpetrators have been allowed to continue abusing. And I think this is the issue we have to address. We have to stop this, and we have to ensure that children are protected. And that must come before any sort of notion of religious freedom. Religious freedom is not absolute. It does have to be balanced against the rights of others, particularly the most vulnerable in our society.
What I think many people will be struggling to understand here, Alban, is the prioritisation of the privacy of a conversation with an abuser rather than the prioritisation of action to protect and defend a child who is currently being abused by that abuser. How do you explain that?
Well, let me say, in most circumstances, the priest would not know the identity of the abuser. And that is something that needs to be taken into consideration. The point is this, that in order to preserve the integrity of the confessional, in order to preserve the integrity of the sacrament, disclosure outside of the confessional is strictly forbidden.
Look, I hear you saying that. Repeating that point over and over again. I get that point. Why that has to be the case. Why can't that change? Other things have changed in the history of the church. Why can't that change?
Because if you start to change that, then you unravel the whole confidentiality of the sacrament of penance. You do that, you undermine the sacrament, and the sacrament no longer has that confidentiality.
Well, I mean, for example, you could be a psychotherapist or a counsellor or a teacher, and you could say to people, you know, I'll maintain the privacy of our conversations, but listen, if anybody admits to me that that you've abused a child or tells me how a child is currently at risk, I have an overriding obligation to act in the defence of that child. So that is a caveat that I offer. And professionals, Richard, I'm right in saying, I hope, professionals say that to people who come to them for therapy or whatever. I may have an overriding obligation to protect a child, which means that I have to break the confidentiality of this conversation. And you should know that in advance. If you say that in advance to someone, would that be helpful?
Well, what I can certainly say is that as a professional, as a solicitor, I owe duties of confidentiality to my clients. But it is the position that in instances of either money laundering or terrorism, I have duties to report that to the authorities, irrespective of the obligation of confidentiality. So the confidentiality can be overridden in those extreme circumstances. And what we're saying is that that should include child abuse as well. But the fact that I have those obligations doesn't undermine the general operation of the doctrine of confidentiality that I owe to my clients. I still have that, and that is the position the vast majority of the time, except in those extreme situations.
Well, what about child abuse cases, Richard? If one of your clients, hypothetically, were to tell you that they have a history of abusing their child, the child that is still with them, does your lawyer client privilege protect that conversation?
Well, I think in those circumstances, it would probably depend on whether somebody, whether a child, for example, or somebody else was at immediate risk. So that is the issue that one would have to consider.
And if you concluded that the child was at risk?
If you concluded that the child was at risk, then I think there may, depending on the detail of it, there may be a duty to report in those circumstances. Can I just make this
very briefly? I want to get some calls on as well. Go ahead, Richard.
I'll let you carry on.
No, make your point. Sorry, I don't want you to rush away.
the other thing that I was going to say was simply that there is quite a lot of research, particularly in the Irish Republic, around the operation of the confessional and clerical sex offenders. And what it has demonstrated is that in certain circumstances, not all, but in some circumstances, clerical sex offenders use the confessional as an enabler of abuse, in the sense that they are able to go and confess and get it off their chest and ease their conscience, but without any consequence or penalty. So it actually becomes an enabler of abuse.
Oh, goodness. 0330 80 55 55. That's quite a thought, isn't it? John is in Maherfield. Hello, John.
Hello. I have a solution that should keep everybody happy here. First of all, why do people go to confession? They basically go to confession to get absolution from their sins. It's a sacrament. You should go to the confession as if you're going to Christ and confessing to Christ. Now, the confession is only valid with regards to serious sins if you have firm resolution never to commit such again. So these people, if they're going to confession, I disagree with what your last speaker said about them just getting it off their chest so they can go and commit it again. There's no point going to confession to do that. Mm. If they are truly sorry, they go to confession. But what?
I'm sure you're right about the sincerity that's necessary for proper absolution, John. But our conversation isn't about absolution. Our conversation is whether the police should be involved if a priest learns a child has been abused.
I'm getting to the nub of that. That's my next point. What there should be is a directive from the hierarchy that any priest hearing confession, if there is a sin related to abuse of children, that they must make it part of the penance, the absolution. In other words, the person will only earn forgiveness for the sins if they are directed to go to the police.
And what if they don't go to the police?
Well, then they haven't got absolution. It was a waste of time going to confession.
Should the police be then told by the priest?
Well, we've already had... task there, explain why, you know, you may not know the priest. But if the offender realizes that, if he's going
to... Yes, but I'm asking you, if the offender doesn't go to the police, and you still have a child who's vulnerable to abuse, should the priest inform the authorities?
But such a person isn't going to go to the priest if they know that the part of the absolution is going to be they have to go to the police. Therefore, they wouldn't go to the police unless they're truly sorry. And if
I think we're going to disappear down that hypothetical, John, but thank you very much. We're coming back to the main question again, which is whether priests should have some kind of privilege when they hear in the confessional that someone has abused or is indeed still abusing a child, or whether they should simply go to the authorities in order to protect that child. Peter is in Downpatrick. Welcome, Peter.
Hello, Ian. I think those views of Alvin McGuinness I find absolutely abhorrent, that he wouldn't advocate for somebody to report.
I haven't said that.
Well, he said that he thinks that the confession box should go above the law. Religious freedom is under the law. We're all under the law. And that there would be a child in danger, that somebody could remove that child from that dangerous situation and report that apparent horrible crime. I just think it's disgusting.
Peter, thank you very much. Alban, I guess in the situation in the Republic right now where there is a mandatory reporting rule which doesn't give priests privilege, it is possible in the future, depending on the case and the circumstances of the case, that a priest may be shown to have knowledge of the abuse of a child, not gone to the authorities, and would then be prosecuted.
Yes.
Would you support that prosecution?
And in those circumstances, the priest would probably be sentenced to imprisonment or fined or whatever.
Or would that
it is.
Be appropriate?
Well, I don't think so in circumstances where there is...
After all these years...
A very firm
stories
view.
that we've had.
Yeah, and you know, you have to... I have said to you that mandatory reporting should, in fact, be in the law.
But you're saying that the priest should have an exemption?
The priest himself does not have exemption. If the priest learns through other means outside the confessional,
of course,
he is under an obligation to report that and should report that. And I think everybody would support that. But in the context of confession, it has been the tradition of the church and will remain the tradition of the church. And indeed, in all other parts of the world, similar situations have arisen.
Oh, my goodness. You've seen John Cornwell's book, have you, The Black Box? The Dark Box? What's it called? The Dark Box, A Secret History of Confession by John Cornwell, where he looks at the connection between the dark space of a confessional all the way back hundreds of years and the development of an abuse crisis within the Catholic Church, and suggests that they may be linked. I mean, if that's the case, and I know it's a controversial thesis, but if that's the case, shouldn't you be more concerned about the protection of children than the protection of a tradition?
I'm very concerned about the protection of children, and the church is very concerned about the protection of children. And the important thing is to have mandatory reporting in circumstances outside the confessional, where the priest comes into contact with people.
All right.
And I think that that's very important. And I think the point that Richard has made about lawyers is quite interesting, where there's no clear obligation on a lawyer who receives confidential information to report that.
Jim's in Derry. Hello, Jim.
Hello, William.
Your thoughts?
My thoughts are, Alban has said about mandatory reporting, he's for that, but he's saying it's for outside the confessional. I don't agree with that at all. The onus is on every grown-up person to report, including the priest. We will not survive any other way.
Thank you very much, Jim. John Scott's a former Ulster Unionist councillor. How are you doing, John?
How you doing, William?
Your thoughts on this today for us.
Well, my thoughts, Alvin, as a politician, I always admired, but today he should feel ashamed. I mean, over the last 30 years, and my wife fostered children who were sexually abused. For someone to go into the confession box, tell a priest, and that priest not to report it. Now, Alban is all pro-life, and he's always saying there's the parent and there's the child in the womb. What is the difference that a child outside the womb being abused and not reporting it? all the words that the Pope said over the weekend, he might as well not have said them. No one can be above the law. No religion, no anything. And Albin, I'm ashamed of you today, and you should be ashamed.
Albin McGuinness.
Well, look, the point I make and stress again is that we have got to protect children. But you have to accept that in the church's history, for 2,000 years, the church has maintained a position where the confessional is confidential, and where there is an absolute seal, as far as a priest is concerned, in disclosing anything within that confessional.
All right.
And I think that is an important thing for people to respect.
But it's just not an argument, Albin. It's just a recitation of the status quo. You haven't made an argument for it. Why have that system?
Because of the integrity of the confession. If you remove that, then you undermine...
But the integrity of the child that's being abused.
You're undermining the integrity of the sacrament, and that's the important thing in these circumstances.
The important thing in these circumstances is protecting the child.
You can protect the child in other ways. But if you undermine confession, then you're actually doing away with something that is very important and something that is very sacred.
Albin McGuinness, Richard Scorer, thanks to both of you. Let's get the news.